You're on the Commons, and I'm Sue Bartholomew. This is the season for more bills and potential laws. And in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at the proposed laws regulating associations across the country. Some are good, some not so good, and some are just downright bad. But we're kicking off this season of shows with someone who is, in my opinion, the model legislator, the one, the only, Florida's own Representative Julio Rabaina, also known as the Energizer Bunny. Julio, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sue. It's a real honor to be back on your show, and thank you for what you do. We appreciate it.
Well, listen, I really appreciate the fact that you always take time out and come and join us. I know this is a busy time of year. I know that you're working really hard on behalf of your constituents in Florida. I wish that all of us could benefit. Well, we all do benefit, but tell us what you're doing.
Well, we've got a lot of things this year, as we say, on the burner here in the state of Florida. And besides our yearly legislation that we'll be pursuing this year, I think some of the most interesting things that we're going to be doing this year are the following. First of all, dealing with insurance in general. I think we'll talk a little bit today about a couple of new insurance options for those who live either in a condo or a HOA, a homeowner association environment. A couple of new choices for people to pick from, where they may no longer want to get coverage from the private sector industry and the insurance industry, or here in the state of Florida, we have basically what we consider insurance that is part of the government provided insurance. It's insurance of last resort due to all the storms, hurricanes that we have here. We also are going to talk about something that I think is key, and I would hope that everybody pays close attention to what we're doing here in Florida. We've been basically piecing a pilot program or a plan together on how we deal with the future of corruption when it comes to associations, again, whether it's condo or homeowners or even co-ops, anything of that nature. And we'll talk a little bit about what we're doing. I'll walk you through it, how we have basically, from the grassroots level, created a program that by next month will be up and running here in the state of Florida. And I think you're going to see any type of problems that are of, I like to use the word corruption because at times it's done purposely, but at times, there may be other things that go on with it, anything that may constitute a crime when it comes to stealing or kickbacks or anything of that nature with the associations. We will have law enforcement and the leg of enforcement there to finally do something about that. And I know that's not a problem just in Florida. It happens around the entire United States.
Oh, boy, you're right about that. That is a big deal. And that's something that I'm very excited about. Now, this is your baby, and you had come up with this idea some time ago, but you've hit some roadblocks on that, haven't you?
We have, and the sad part about it is the roadblocks came at the end of the process. If I may, last year we actually had already kicked into gear the idea of this pilot program, and just to quickly touch on the politics, the program had been basically approved. There's funding that was needed, in around the tune of about $100,000. For positions that were needed to monitor this pilot program, and the governor of our state basically was the one who vetoed the funding. But it didn't stop us.
No, it didn't.
That know me and know the groups that are so active here in the state of Florida have been asking for this thing to continue. Let's move it forward. So we have actually put it into play now, and we've already started the training aspect of it. And depending whether we get funding or not, we're still going to pursue this, and this will probably become the future of dealing with problems of corruption in association environments. And Sue, if I may, let me explain quickly what we've done here in the state of Florida.
Please do.
For years, there is a department here in the state of Florida. Actually, it's a division that regulates condominiums. Really doesn't regulate much of the homeowner association activity, but it does regulate condos. But it's a department, and I love them to death, but to me it's always been a bureaucracy that if they find a problem, they threaten to fine, boards, and I think in very rare cases have they ever even fined any boards. But that said, we really need a leg of law enforcement that would help us out. So what we've had here the scenario here in Florida has been the following. People that live in a condo or in a homeowner association, let's say they've asked for public records requests or through their due diligence found that there may be, let's start by saying discrepancies or maybe write out, you know, problems where money is missing or the funds aren't being handled properly, kickbacks, a number of things that can happen in these types of associations. Well, every time they've tried to report this, the way the process is currently set up, it ends up supposedly going to our state attorney's office. With all respect to them, really, no charges really have ever been brought upon anybody because there's no leg of law enforcement to really investigate it. And as you know, condo fraud, association fraud, is really not a priority when they also have to investigate other types of white-collar crime, plus the types of crimes that we know we deal with every day, which are burglary and you know, anything else, whether it's murder and so forth. So it doesn't fall high in their priority list to investigate this. Local police departments, when you call them, and here in the state of Florida, they do show up, but unfortunately what they've been doing in the past is they'll tell you, well, this is an association, this right. is a civil matter, we're not getting involved in this,
right.
take your board to court.
Right.
And that's terrible.
I agree.
It's terrible, and what we're doing here in Miami-Dade County, which is where we're kicking off this pilot program, is we've basically met with every one of the cities. Let me explain to you the demographics of how Miami-Dade County is set up. We have one county, but we have roughly 34, 35 cities or municipalities under the county, and a lot of them have their own little police departments, their own detectives, investigators. And like I said, normally when you're in one of those cities and you were to call about a crime that you think they're stealing from you, again, those law enforcement officers would come out, tell you, no, this is an association, this is a civil matter, go to court. We're going to put an end to that. What we're doing is, since people pay taxes for those police officers, we're going to put them to work and give them an additional responsibility. What we're doing is we reached out to every chief of police in all of those municipalities, including the large county, and said, look, we want to make sure that nothing ever again gets referred to, if it's of a criminal nature, which corruption and stealing is. We don't want these cases to be referred all the time to a civil court. You need to investigate it, but we're going to help you. We understand that your law enforcement officers don't have a clue on what condo fraud or association fraud is all about. So we're going to establish a program to train them free of charge. And we want every police officer to be trained on what fraud is, what constitutes fraud in an association environment. So what we did is we got together with, again, all the chiefs. Everyone agreed that if the training was provided and it was free of charge, they would definitely send their officers to be trained in this. We got together with our state, what they call the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. They basically oversee all law enforcement in the state of Florida. We got together with the division that regulates condos here in the state of Florida, and we also got together with our ombudsman. As you know, that was our legislation that established the Office of the Ombudsman. We got all four of them together, and we started, as of a couple of weeks ago, training the different cities' officers who were being sent to be trained on what condo and association fraud is all about. Besides being trained, now they're being given cards that they will carry with them in their police vehicles at all times. There'll be a program that'll be in their laptops that has to do with this. And the goal of this is to train them all so that by the time that we get back the information, now that every one of these cities has had their law enforcement officers trained, we're then going to let the people of Miami-Dade County know that, hey, right now everyone's been trained. It's okay to start calling your local police departments. They're going to come out, and they're no longer going to tell you, oh, this is a civil matter. They're going to go ahead and give you a sheet, which they will be furnished with, that has the checklist on what they're going to ask you to please get for them. In other words, to do your due diligence, they will take it, and they will finally start investigating these cases and not refer them to a court on a civil matter. If they find probable cause and there's an audit needed, then here comes our Florida Department of Law Enforcement that will help with any type of forensic audits that may be needed. The point person is the Office of the Ombudsman. And remember, what we're doing there is trying to get officers a support service, so if they come out and they have a question while they're investigating or at any time, they'll be able to call our Office of the Ombudsman, and they will give them any additional help that they need if they're trying to find some type of probable cause. And, of course, the division that regulates will be there, support services also. State Attorney's Office is now 100% engaged because now they no longer, since they didn't have the manpower to investigate these cases, well, now the investigative legwork of it will be done by local police officers. These officers, again, with the help of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, if probable cause is found, then they will basically put the case on the lap of our state attorney, which will file charges if necessary. And that's trying to explain it about as simply as I can. Is train them all, let them know that this is a crime, have them investigated, probable cause is found, state attorneys will file charges, and the rest should be history from that point. And we should have that program off the ground probably by February. Our target date is the first week of March, where we can go to the media and tell everybody, let everyone know in our county this pilot program is in place. If you have any kind of complaint, if you have paperwork, proof, documentation, whatever it is, and you think that these type of activities have gone on in your association, call your local city, have them come out, and they will look into this for you. No more referring cases to civil court.
We're talking to Florida Representative Julio Robina. And for my listening audience out there, if you do not live in the state of Florida, I want you to find out how many of your legislators are doing what this legislator is doing to protect his constituents. I have said it before, and I will say it again. Julio, you are a model legislator.
Well, Sue, I thank you for the compliment, but what I think I'm doing here is doing what we are supposed to do. Because, you know, this goes back to a very quick analogy of something that we've learned in the past. You know, in every state, you have Medicaid and Medicare fraud. And as you remember, for years, that went on until some legislators finally got on board and said, you know what, we need to create a fraud division or somebody that deals with the fraud. And then came the fraud division to investigate Medicaid and Medicare. And that's all we're doing. Association living is not going away. It's growing in our state. That's the future of development. So if you know it's something for the future of development, you know we've got to start creating these programs to deal with fraud. And it's as simple as that.
Julio, access to records, probably the first step in doing all of this is to go in and check and look at the access to the records, the corporate or the corporate records of the association to find out whether there is any funny business or whether it's just, just a personal feeling people have. Quite often, associations refuse to provide records, especially financial records. They don't want the homeowners to know what's going on. At what point will law enforcement get involved? If I go to my association and say, I want to see the following financial records, and the association says, well, gee whiz, you're not a member in good standing, and therefore we don't have to provide you with anything, will the police or will your program take over from that point based on a hunch?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the beauty about law enforcement. See, a lot of times when the average unit owner or homeowner in an association asks for public records and they're trying to cover something, of course, you know, that they never get what they request. And they're actually violating our statutes or whatever statutes in whatever state. The beauty about having law enforcement is that you know that if they don't get what they request and if they're looking into an investigation, they'll have subpoena powers and don't have other powers. And I guarantee you, a board that is trying to sidestep, a regular citizen will not sidestep their local law enforcement office, because all that does, it just sends up a flag to look into it even more. And again, local law enforcement will have the opportunity to subpoena records if necessary if there is a criminal investigation going on. So that's the beauty of this, that these folks, they can't say no to them. If you do, well, you know what the next step is. They're basically letting them know that there is some funny business going on, and law enforcement will dig into it even deeper if they're refusing to even give them the information that was requested by a homeowner. But I will tell you, this will be done through a process. The homeowner will be asked to request for it, And if they don't get it, that'll be the information that they'll furnish these law enforcement officers, that, hey, we've been trying for weeks, for months to get the information, and we can't. And at that time, yes, local law enforcement will have the power to request the information.
There's a couple of words that have been sneaking into legislation across the country, and that is members in good standing. And that kind of changes the whole relationship, because if you move into one of these things, if you move into an association, be it a condo or an HOA or a co-op, you are a member, and in my opinion, you are entitled to have access to all the books and records, because you are at risk, your property is at risk, because by the fact that you live there. The minute you put in good standing, then the association comes in and concocts all these, oh well, your last thing didn't arrive, your last payment didn't arrive in time, and we've assessed a late fee to you, and therefore you're not in good standing, and therefore we don't have to provide you with anything. Those words, I think, in my opinion, need to be removed.
They need to be removed entirely from the statutes that govern these boards, and you're absolutely right, Sue. Those are some of the ideas that, constantly are being proposed for legislation, and I guarantee you that we got a great group down here. I think you've had them on your show before, Jan Bergman and his group. And these are the kind of things that they advocate for, to try to put it in legislation and to try to get this solved. And I will tell you, you're going to see more and more of this. The greatest thing about this is that every year here in Florida, and I hope it's the same around other states that listen, that we get more and more legislators that are getting involved in these types of pieces of legislation, running their own pieces of legislation. So I guess what I'm trying to say, it's just no longer is it just me doing this. There's a number of people, because I don't think there's a community untouched anywhere through this large state of Florida where they're not building, condos or co-ops or homeowner association type environments. And these elected officials from all around our state are getting the same complaints that I get down here in Miami-Dade County. So that's going to continue. I mean, I'm actually really thrilled to see what we call our freshman legislators coming in. One of their priorities these days are, hey, what are we going to do about this problem in this association? So these are the things we will continue to pursue.
That's great. How long is the pilot program slated to go on for before it becomes statewide?
Normally, that's a very good question. Normally, pilot programs, we run them for about a year. Problems here have gotten so bad, when I say here, in the state of Florida, that you know how it is. Several people have already found out about it. There's been some articles that have been written. And there's already citizens calling asking to have their counties, in case in point, Broward County and Palm Beach County, they want the pilot programs kicked off in their communities right away. And believe me, if this proves to be successful, which we're 99.9% sure, then probably within the first month you're probably going to see some arrests already. Because there's people that have been waiting and holding off, don't even want to call the local police departments right now until these officers are trained. They're holding off, and as soon as we give the green light that we're off and running, they're going to start turning over a lot of the paperwork and proof that they have. I'm sure we're going to have some arrests right away. So if this thing proves to be successful, my goal would be that if I could, during this coming session here of legislation in Tallahassee, I can expand that pilot program to a couple of counties, and the rest should be history. Once it works in our county here, which we always start at the worst-case scenario, which unfortunately my county here, Miami-Dade County, has got the worst
But you're the silver lining to that particular crowd.
Well, and I appreciate that.
worst
case, and then from there, if we can make it work here, we can make it work not only anywhere here within the state of Florida, but probably anywhere in the nation.
Is the training costing a whole lot?
No, it's actually not costing any of the police departments a penny, because the training is being done by our local, like I said, agency, which is the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The officers are being given credit for coming to these courses. By the way, they've even videotaped the training sessions so they can send copies to every one of the municipalities. So if there's new officers or some refresher training that they want to give, they can even give the training back home in their local police departments in the form of maybe during the morning roll call, have them review this DVD, which will show them exactly what it is, which will cover the points. And remember, there always will be a support number that they can call to get any questions answered till these officers all become very proficient in understanding what fraud is in an association environment.
Julio, once you've had this going for a few months, I'd like you to come back and tell us how it's doing and give us a progress report. And I think this is something that just about every state needs to look at, seriously look at.
I agree.
Because we do hear from a lot of homeowners who say, you know, I called the police and they basically washed their hands of the whole thing and said, it's a private matter, take it to court.
And sure, and that's why we, you know, went this far with this. That's why I've been working this. I call this my baby. I've had to get everybody at the table and say, look, if you guys don't help us out with this, well, you're just going to, you know, you're just going to get the situation to get worse and worse. And it's been, I like to use to say, it's been like pulling teeth. It's been very, very tough to get them all to cooperate, but there's one thing that has led them all to come to the table and decide to work with me to put this pilot program. And this is the pressure being put by people in general, the people that live in these association environments, the grassroots groups, which have called the state attorney and they've called the state and they've called their local police departments and have said, you know what? You guys better get to this. We pay your taxes. We want an investigation done of these type of cases because a lot of this stuff, this is criminal. This doesn't belong in a civil matter in a courtroom. They were just taking the easy way out, and I can understand. But once everyone's trained in this, there's no excuse any longer for any city to say, oh, it's a civil matter, because that was just basically a way to get out of having to investigate something. And a lot of times in defense of the law enforcement officers, they really didn't know what this was all about. What is condo and homeowner association fraud and so forth? And that is our job, to train them. So the training is going well. The feedback that we're getting from the law enforcement officers going through the training is great. The state is getting some very good feedback because we like to hear directly from the officers who are going through the training. And so far it's been nothing but positive comments from the law enforcement officers. And a lot of them are having some eye-opening experiences. They never knew that, you know, association living was so bad.
Oh, it gets bad. We're going to take a break in about 5 minutes, Julio, but before we get there, I want to just touch on a couple of very quick things. Yesterday when I was talking to you, you made the comment that all of this is coming out because it's government listening to the people.
Absolutely.
And then you talked about the 100 best ideas for Florida. And you talked about a project that's a book that's being compiled or somehow. You want to talk about that for about 5 minutes?
Well, what we have under our leader here in Florida, our Speaker of the House, it's actually a great concept. He's come up with an idea that who else better to solve problems than our constituents, our voters, our neighbors, our friends, people that live next door to us. And what we've started to do here is we're doing what government basically should be doing. Instead of the elected officials telling everybody what we're proposing for solutions, what we did, we started early in December this year, we had what they call idea raisers, meaning that every elected official was asked by the Speaker of the House to go into their communities and hold a series of hearings with civic organizations, different groups, anybody that wanted to hold a hearing or a meeting or a town hall meeting. And basically what we were doing is sitting, coming in with our pens and our paper and basically telling people, let us know what you think is wrong with your local government, with your state government. Give us ideas. We don't want you to complain. We don't want this to become a meeting where you come here to vent and scream and yell about the problems. Tell us what the problem is briefly, but give us ideas for solutions. And people came ready and loaded with great ideas. Those ideas then were taken. There was a website created where we could actually input them, or people could actually go onto the website and submit their ideas. And out of that, we have combined the best 100 that came out of all the hearings and meetings that we had around the state of Florida. And those have become the priority for legislation in the Florida House of Representatives and at this time also in the Senate. So very simply, taking the best 100 ideas that came out of the thousands of ideas given to us by our citizens and promising them that if they made that 100 best idea, there would be legislation that would be filed to deal with these results on a common sense basis.
Again, for those of you who don't live in Florida, why don't you check with your legislators and find out how many of them take the trouble to listen to their constituents like Representative Julio Urbina. Julio, we're going to take a short break. For the rest of you, don't go away because there's plenty more and we've only just begun to scratch the surface.
They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. And on The Commons with us today, we have the Energizer Bunny, also known as Representative Julio Urbina from sunny Florida. Julio, thanks again so much for joining us. You have started a number of programs in Florida that I think, you know, the rest of the country really ought to look at. One of the other big problems that you have is insurance, and we're going to come back and talk about that in just a second. But before we do, very quickly, you have been petitioned by the Citizens for Pets and Condos, and they want some legislation, and you're going to help them. I just want to mention that these folks have collected over 10,000 signatures on their petition.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, about that group. They're a fantastic group that I think have been dealing with one particular issue, which has got to do with a big problem, which is having a pet in an association environment. And I think that they represent a lot of people who are having problems with boards that currently nowadays completely disregard people's rights to have pets, and this group needs to be commended for the work that they've done. One of the things that this group has always wanted to make available is that these people that live in association environments have the right to decide whether they wanted pets or not. And I think this group, petsandcondos.org, they have actually taken the time to get thousands of signatures for people that are in that type of situation. The sad part about it is a lot of the people that are in this situation are people that need to have pets because of medical necessities, meaning whether they're physically impaired or may have some type of emotional impairment where the doctor has recommended to have a pet. And in a lot of cases, the boards will not even allow it, even when they're medically necessary. So one of the things that we're going to be taking on this year is to try to make it law here that if a individual that lives in an association environment has a medically necessary pet that must be needed for whatever reason, that the boards do not, take away that opportunity from people. And whether it's a service, animal, whether it's a pet that's been prescribed by a doctor maybe for emotional purposes, anything of that nature, that opportunity or that right, I should say, should not be taken away from people that live in association environments.
They've been on a couple of times. In fact, you brought this group to my attention, and mm-hmm. I've talked to them. I'm really impressed with the work they're doing, and I wish them luck. And I think they're trying to get even more signatures. So if you're out there and you believe in this, folks, get out there and sign their petition. I think you can get to it from petsandcondos.org, and go for it. What happens if they show up with 50,000 signatures?
Well, I got to tell you, once they passed 1,000 signature threshold, I think they were well on their way to making sure that we hear them. And remember what I told you, that we're listening here. It's back to basics in government, what we should be doing. These people brought a very legitimate problem to us, and I think it's worthy of us spending some time to do something about it, and that's exactly what we're doing, and hopefully that will be one of the easier parts of legislation to get passed for them this year.
Well, good luck with that, and yeah, it sounds like it will be good. The other thing, Julio, that I think the entire country's having problems with, but probably more so Floridians and maybe people in New Orleans and the people who were hit by Katrina, and that's insurance. And you've come up with a four-page paper that you sent me, the talking points on, mm-hmm. on this insurance. So you've come up with a plan, and it's innovative, and it's different. And do you want to tell us about it?
Well, the good news about the plan is that it just passed and became law here. I think it's been a little bit over a week now. We had what they call a special legislative session because mm-hmm. we were dealing with the insurance crisis here in the state of Florida, and it passed. It just became law. It was signed into law by our governor a week ago from last Monday. So here's what it did. For all of those of you that live in condo or any type of association environment where you have common ground, that you know that you must have what you would call a master policy that covers the structure and the common ground, for years we basically have been at the mercy of having to either pay for a private insurance policy that covers, you know, the common ground and the structure, or at times, for instance, here in the state of Florida, a lot of the private insurance companies decided not to write any more policies when it came to condominiums, per se. There's very few private companies still insuring private condominiums and other types of homeowner associations. So the state created its own insurance, and even that is just it's so expensive because by law it was mandated to be the most expensive policies because it was insurance of last resort when the private sector was pulling out of the state of Florida. Here's what we did. We created two new opportunities, and the good news is that as a result of creating these two new opportunities with these ideas that were presented this special session, we've actually got some companies now coming in here. One, I believe, is out of New York, another one out of Pennsylvania, and they are going to basically write policies that have to do with nothing more than associations. They're not going to do commercial, and they're not going to do single-family residential. They're going to do associations. And here's the two alternatives that we have now here in the state of Florida. Number one is the opportunity for a condominium to self-insure. Other states may have it already in place. We didn't have it, per se, here in Florida. And when we say self-insure, let me explain to you what we're talking about. It's the opportunity for a condominium or a homeowner association to open, in layman's terms, an account, take the money that they normally would pay towards a private insurance carrier or any other carrier, and put it into an account and let them become self-insured, meaning if there's no storms or no damage, that money stays in your account, it gains interest, and no company takes your money, and every year you see nothing for it. You keep your money within your own account. Here in Florida, we're putting safeguards in it because, as you know, we talked about corruption earlier. Well, we've got to make sure that these accounts are very closely checked by government and regulated so that there is no temptation to want to steal from a fund if all of a sudden you're putting in hundreds of thousands of dollars in there a year. How does that lower the rates for people? Well, remember, when you buy from a private sector, you basically are at their mercy and you must pay the premium that they've requested. This gives associations a chance to be their own bosses when it comes to that, and they can decide how much they want to put into this rainy day account, per se, and let them take it on themselves if there's any damage. The risk is that, of course, you will have to make sure that you, if something happens, they would have to then administer the repairs and hire subs and pay it out directly. But it's just a great opportunity to be able to save a lot of money, and especially with nowadays with the outrageous deductibles that even with the high premiums people are paying. The second choice that they have is what we call pooling together. This is the second alternative that passed this year. This is where we're now making it legal and easy for 10 condos or more, meaning 10 different groups, 10 associations can come together. It could be a block, it could be a whole city, it could be a whole county. As long as it's 10 associations or more, they all pool their money together and they buy insurance in bulk from one of these companies. I like to use an analogy to this. This is similar to Home Depot going out and buying. You know, people wonder why Home Depot gets such cheap prices. Well, because they buy in bulk. Well, we are now realizing there are these insurance companies that will dedicate themselves to selling insurance in bulk, but it has to be of a large quantity. And normally 10 groups or more that decide they want to get together, they can buy so much coverage in bulk, meaning that cuts their cost by a minimum of 38%. Those are the numbers that we're getting these days.
38%.
There's another option for associations to look into so that you're no longer just hostage to what you've had in the past, either a government-run type insurance or a private sector insurance policy.
38%, huh?
38% are the conservative numbers because,
Remember,
you're buying insurance in bulk. And it's a great concept. I mean, we're willing to give people that may want to email you or myself. We will send them information. We will put them in contact because the great thing about your show, Shu, is that we're able to get the information out all around. And, you know, we don't need to be reinventing the wheel. If we found a possible solution to a problem, we want to share it. So we'll give you information of some of the companies that are involved that brought some of these concepts to us, some of the local people that we have here in Florida that are behind also seeing these ideas be implemented. And that information will be made available if people just ask. All they have to do is ask us, and we will provide them the information.
There are a couple of words in here that I didn't understand. One of them is a pup, and the other is a cherry picking.
Cherry picking.
What does? Can you explain that?
I will explain it. But by the way, I just want to say that I've just gotten an email already from someone named Caroline Kubler out of North Carolina. And thank you, Caroline, and I will be responding to you shortly. This is a great thing about your show, that we're getting instant emails on people listening to your show. This is wonderful. Technology
is great. I have to tell you, unfortunately, I only have one phone line, and you're on it. But the thing is, if calls come in, I have a light that lights up, and the light's been lighting up. And I have not been able to take the call. So I know that there are people who are listening who've been trying to get through, who are trying to talk to you, and I really am sorry. I'd love to put you folks on.
Well, just do me a big favor before the show's out. Make sure that you share my email address because
I tell
a lot of people that here in Florida, at least this elected official has no life, and I enjoy responding to all the emails that I get personally.
Folks, do you know he's in his office today on a Saturday?
I am. That's the difference between what I say are politicians and our public servants. And I really have enjoyed it. As you know, I've been going at this, what I call condo and homeowner and association living reform for 4 years. And now, of course, dealing with the ways to deal with insurance reform also. So, you know, I always say that the legislator will leave their mark depending on how many people they can help. And, boy, if this isn't a way to help a large group of people that are in bad predicaments at the time, I don't know what a better cause it was than to take up this cause. But going back to your question.
Before we do, and I know I'm going to forget my question, but I just want to let my listeners know, for those of you who are new to my show, I want you to know that in the past when I've invited Representative Robina to come on the show, he has called me from places like golf courses. He was at golf tournaments, and he took time out to come and talk to me. Now, if that's not dedication, I don't know what is. I'm sorry, Julio.
Well, thank you, because that definitely confirms that I have no life and I live for public service.
you certainly seem to do that.
But it's important. Again, you know very well that what we're doing is the right thing, and somebody needs to look out for people that have these type of problems. And again, a lot of the things that we're doing, I get a lot of credit, but again, I thank the Jan Bergmans of the world, yourself, a lot of other good people that we have here in South Florida and all around the state of Florida that are involved in this, I would call it a group effort to try to bring some changes pro-consumer because of insurance, but also pro unit owners and pro homeowners. So this is our job.
But it helps to have someone listening, and this is government listening, folks. It's something.
Well, I will hope that they'll share some of these ideas with people in their legislators in their hometowns, and hopefully they will do it. And by the way, I encourage you to always have your legislators contact me, because from legislator to legislator, a lot of times we're able to communicate and we're able to explain to each other what it is in very simple layman's terms of what they should be doing to model what it is that we're doing here in the state of Florida. Going back to your question on what is pup companies and these satellite companies, I believe that was your question.
Pups and cherry picking.
That here's what happened. The state of Florida, like I said, during that special session that we just had, we had a problem here where insurance companies would pick where they would choose to write what type of policies they wanted, but then were either not writing a certain type of policy or basically dumping the type of policies that they felt they were losing money on. Case in point, here in Florida, we probably have the highest premiums when it comes to automobile insurance. So that's a very lucrative industry to write policies in. And there, I'm not going to mention any insurance companies by name, but let's say insurance company A was writing auto policies, which are very lucrative. They make a lot of profits from it. And then at one time they were writing homeowner policies or condo policies or single-family home policies. All of a sudden storms started coming in and they started losing money. Well, what they quickly did, and they were allowed to do so, they'd say, well, we're not going to write any more residential or condo or commercial policies. What we're going to do is we're just going to keep the lucrative part of the business. We're going to keep the auto part. And what our legislators did, again, because these were suggestions by average citizens in our state, was why are you allowing these insurance companies to do that? We call it cherry picking, because they picked what they wanted to write wherever they were making a profit. And if they had a couple bad years where they lost some money in another type of policy, they were allowed to back away from it, or more importantly, not have to write it at all. And that has come to an end. Why has that come to an end? Because the legislator stood up and said no more. So the law now states the following. If you write auto, you must write other types of policies if you've written them in the past or you know how to write them. And if you don't, then you can't write the lucrative part. A lot of people said, well, if we do that to these companies, they'll leave the state of Florida. They're not leaving the state of Florida because it's a very lucrative business to be in, and they don't want to lose the right to be able to write the lucrative auto insurance policy. So sometimes legislators got to get tough with industries, with special industries, and this is one of the times that we had to get tough with them here in the state of Florida.
One of the talking points that you have here that I highlighted says, but the results are clear. Some insurance companies have gotten a lot of what they have asked for, and their consumers have gotten not much more than higher rates and canceled policies.
That is correct. And as a result of that, here's something that we proposed, but we could not get it done. But we are going at it. When I say we, I've already got a piece of legislation for our regular session that starts in about a month to deal with that, and that will deal with what we call these pup companies, these satellite companies. Let me tell you what happened here in the state of Florida. By administrative action of back to 98, an insurance commissioner, as you know, Florida, for 30 years, we went without a storm. And a lot of premiums being paid and a lot of profits being made by insurance companies. Back in 92, we had a bad hurricane called Hurricane Andrew. I mean, the damages were in the billions of dollars.
Right.
And then after a result of that, a lot of the insurance companies started complaining that they were going to leave the state of Florida because they lost too much money. Mind you, they never complained about the profits they made for 30 years prior, but they were losing a lot of money. So what they were allowed to do, not by the lawmakers, but by then an administrative action of the insurance commissioner of the state of Florida, is they were allowed to establish these satellite companies, or what we call pup companies. It's like being the little puppy. What does that mean? That they were allowed to create let's say it was Sam's Insurance, you know, which is a national company. Well, in Florida, they were allowed to establish Sam's Insurance Company of Florida. That's a satellite. That's a pup. And what that gave them was the opportunity where they no longer had to share and the profits and losses with the national company. So
they're playing hide the banana.
You got it. It's we call it a shell game. You can hide your profits. So what happened is they allowed this to continue, so they'd have so much money in that particular company in Florida, and after the money would run out, they no longer, by law, had to share within the profits at the national level. Why doesn't that work? I'm going to tell you exactly why doesn't that work. Because people would read every year how the same insurance company, the mother company, was making billions and billions of dollars worth of profit. But in Florida, since we had basically, I like to say it as we had given in to the lobbying corps and allowed them to establish as satellite companies, they didn't have to share it when they were having a bad year in Florida but a good year nationwide. They weren't sharing in the losses that we were having here. And that is uncalled for. So what we have done, we tried to do it during special session, was to abolish those type of little satellite companies and basically put an end and try to remove the existing ones. Since it failed during our little special seven-day session that we had, we're proposing it again now for our regular session. I will be filing the legislation along with a senator, and this time we're going back at it again to abolish these, well, to not allow any new companies to establish, try to remove the existing ones, and we're adding some additional language, which is also that will state the following, that from now on, when any private insurance company in this state of Florida requests an insurance increase, that we have to take into consideration the profits that they made at the national level before we give them an increase or a decrease, or we either give it to them or we refuse them. Let me just repeat that again. From now on, before you get any increases, we must take into consideration your profits at the national level. And I think that's common sense again, because it's insulting to the people that we represent that they're told that they're losing money, and then when they go online, they see that that same mother company made $30, $40, $50 billion worth of profit.
Right. Julio, we're kind of running out of time. I want to talk very, very briefly about the ombudsman. And this is one of your projects that you had, and you got it up and running, and for some reason Virgil Rizzo, the first condo ombudsman, was fired. What's going on with the program now?
Let me just tell you that the program, although we terribly miss Mr. Virgil Rizzo, which to me was an individual that was really fighting for the right of the unit owners, we have still up and running a fantastic ombudsman's program under the new direction of Ombudswoman Danielle Carroll. She's doing a very, very good job. We are growing. When I say growing, meaning that we have additional people working now. They are now into helping us come up with new ideas and how to improve condo and homeowner association living in the state of Florida. What's happening now is we're actually getting calls from other states that are asking about this and how can they establish an ombudsman's office in their state. We're giving them additional powers. As you heard earlier, this pilot program to deal with corruption, they're going to be the point people that we'll work with. They'll be there as a middle person for law enforcement to contact. They're getting still hundreds and hundreds of calls from people. They're helping train people. More importantly, the work that they continue to do is they are doing election monitoring, which is great because we've had those boards that for years, you know, no one could ever get rid of them because they basically manipulated their own laws and their own elections, and they go out there and they monitor. And we've seen massive changes in boards that were in place for years, now new people getting elected. A lot of changes. I mean, it was a great, great, great idea that is continuing to get better and better and better. One of the things we'd like to do is eventually grow the ombudsman's program to also oversee homeowner associations, because currently it only oversees condos here in the state of Florida, and we would like it to grow to not only homeowner but maybe even the co-ops. I mean, they do a good job. And another great service they provide is people call in, and they always are ready to advise people of their rights and what they need to do, whether it's how to request, you know, documentation, or whether it is on how to do a recall to remove a board.
I want to take just a second and thank Dan Salvetti and Don Nordine for writing in. And I guess that this would kind of tie into one of the questions Don Nordine had, and that is, that is there a process for individual owners, members, to enforce the governing documents against boards of directors? And the ombudsman would do that, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Julio, you wanted to give out your email address.
Would love to hear from people that have questions, and what I will do is, you know, if you have any particular information you'd like for me to furnish to you or any of your legislators, please do so. My email, and you may want to spell it my first and last name, because it's not an easy name to actually spell out. The email is Julio, which is J-U-L-I-O, and it's dot or period, Robina, which is R-O-B as in Bob, A-Apple, I-N-A, and it's at, all one word here, myfloridahouse.gov, which is G-O-V, short for government.
I will put it on my website when I upload the show on my website in a couple of hours from now so that people can reach you. Julio, thank you so much. You are an inspiration. You are a model legislator, and I just sit here and let you take over because you always have so much good stuff to share with us. Thank you for taking the time out to join us.
No, thank you, Sue, for what you do and allowing me to talk to all your listening audience.
Thanks for joining us on The Commons today. On The Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. See you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings closed to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.